Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn, and I'm so glad that you joined us this week. This week, I'd like to talk to you about five mistakes we make when ministering to LGBTQ people and ways that we can be more effective. None of us are ever perfect, and we can't understand everything about everyone. Sometimes we just have to trust that God will give us the tools, but we should go into those conversations being as equipped as possible. So I would like to equip us to most effectively minister to the LGBTQ people in our lives. So here's five mistakes we make sometimes. Sometimes the first mistake is assuming that we should speak into that area of someone's life. Well, we want everyone to know Jesus, right? Absolutely. But sexuality is a very deep personal area of someone's life. And so we need to have the right relationship with them. We need to earn permission to speak into that area of someone's life. Many times I have someone ask me, well, how do I convince, you know, my son, my cousin, my coworker, whoever it is, that being gay is wrong or that they're living in sin? And my first question is, first of all, do they know Jesus? Because if they don't know Jesus, then they need Jesus first and foremost, because trying to change their behavior is going to do nothing for their soul or for their eternity. Secondly, do you have a discipleship relationship with that person? Have they given you permission to speak into that area of their life? Because if not, sometimes it's like, who do you think you are? Why do you think that you can just step in and, you know, barge open the door to such a personal, deep area of their life and their identity and their personhood? And so we want to minister to everyone, but we need to make sure that we earn permission, we develop a relationship, that we develop trust, that they allow us to speak into that, that they want our feedback. Otherwise, just us spouting off truth about our beliefs is really going to be met by deaf ears and sometimes offense, and we need to just act wisely. And so if you have an LGBTQ person in your life and you want to know how to reach them, start by building a relationship. Start by getting together with them and sharing the hope that you have and looking for areas in their life where they need the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we do it well and we do it right. And that usually happens when we love someone deeply. We have to, you know, the old cliche, we have to help someone belong before we can make them believe. And so we have to use discernment on what is my role in this person's life? Am I in a position to engage in this area of their life? And if I feel called to engage in this area of their life, what steps do I need to take to earn the trust and the relationship to do that? And that doesn't mean that we're just indifferent to people's struggles and sin. We should mourn over people's sin issues that they're enslaved in, but we have to look at the bigger picture. And if we're not in a position to speak into that area of someone's life, we can pray for them, and we have to trust that God will bring the right person into their life to share certain aspects of truth. And so we have to understand what is our role. And if we feel like God is calling us to have a bigger role, then what are the steps to take to get there, to earn that spot in someone's life? I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you would be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like. The second mistake we make is this, is making heterosexuality the goal. And I experienced this so many times as Christians before I was a believer and after I was a believer, is that that's what all the Christians want for people like me, right? Is to be straight. We want to convince them to no longer be gay or bisexual or whatever it is, but just to be straight. But one thing that changed my life so much was when I was told that the opposite of homosexuality isn't heterosexuality, it's holiness. That was the standard I was to live by. And so we should want people to find wholeness with Christ, to find holiness, because that's the opposite of the life they're living in sin. Many times, I think our world sees what the church wants for them, which is heterosexuality. And they look at what a mess heterosexuality is sometimes. And it seemed like, you know, people always treated homosexuality in my life as the disease, and the cure was to be straight. But then I'd walk into a Christian bookstore, and there's aisles after aisles on how to fix your heterosexuality and how to fix your marriage and how to fix your porn addiction, because people's heterosexuality was a mess too. So it didn't seem like that was the solution. The solution was to find my wholeness in Christ. And then out of that, I may be able to express heterosexuality in a marriage that's centered on the Lord and centered on Christ. And I have that now, and I thank God for that. But when we make heterosexuality the goal, we fail every time, because heterosexuality can't save us. It can't transform us. It's only Jesus that can do that. So make sure you're not presenting false expectations of people, which is, don't be gay, but be straight instead. Instead, the expectation should be, and the hope should be, you can have everything you need in Jesus, and then let Jesus transform you from the inside out. The third mistake we make sometimes is doing much more talking than we do listening. We all want to know, what is it that we should say? But many times, to know what to say, we need to do some listening first. We need to try to understand what is going on inside of someone's heart. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." We need to listen to people. I love what Paul said in Acts 17. He goes to the city of Athens, and he sees a city that's full of idolatry, including sexual sin and homosexuality. And he said he's seen that they were serving an unknown God, and he wanted to understand what that God was. So he went there and he lived with them. He got close enough to them to understand the idols that their hearts were serving, so that he could effectively proclaim the truth of the gospel to them. And so that's what we need to do with the people in our lives. We need to get close enough to them. We need to listen. We need to ask so many questions so that we can understand them. We need to be able to understand, what lies have your heart believed? Where are you putting your hope? What are you seeing in this person that makes you attracted to them and makes you want to be with them? We need to understand where they've gone astray so that we can come alongside them and gently provide truth and hope to them. And so instead of just trying to understand, what should I say? Maybe start asking yourself, what should I ask? What questions should I ask of this person to start to understand what is going on in their heart? And that's a much more effective way of ministering to them than just having the barrels loaded, ready to shoot them with some truth. And many times I think we just want to shoot them with some truth because we want to keep a distance. You know, we want to throw some bombs at them, but that's not what Jesus did. Take the woman at the well. He went there. He started asking her questions, even though he knew the answers to them. He started to ask her questions to earn her trust, and so that he could engage and provide truth to her. And so let's be quick to listen and slow to speak. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids, because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. The fourth mistake we can make in ministering to LGBTQ people is making about us versus them. And I think this is the result of the culture war raging around us, this culture war of politics, of policy, of changing the definition of marriage. And I understand that that's part of our culture and something we need to engage with. But many times we let that influence how we see people. Many times I still go to churches where the attitude is, look at the homosexuals, they're ruining the sanctity of marriage. And my response to that is always, well, I think that heterosexuals have done a pretty good job of that over the last 100 years with no-fault divorce, cohabitation, sex outside of marriage, pornography. It's like we have messed it up so badly. But so we can't just blame the homosexual community. Instead, we need to take responsibility. We need to see that transformation starts in here inside the church. We need to see that we've messed up sexuality and we need transformation. And so let's be redeemed by our Savior. And if you're one of those people who has been affected by pornography, cohabitation, you know, sex outside of marriage, divorce, adultery, affairs, whatever it is, God's grace is sufficient for you. And God's grace is also sufficient for your gay and lesbian neighbors. And so let's have the humility knowing that we are just as much in need of a Savior and transformation in our sexuality as our gay and lesbian neighbor. Because the reality is we've all looked at someone to do something inside of us that they weren't meant to do. We've all idolized after someone. And so we need repentance, forgiveness, and transformation from Christ. The fifth mistake we make sometimes in ministering the LGBTQ community is focusing only on their sexuality. And I think that we do that because to us, many times their sexuality is the most glaring issue in their life. But so many times when we're ministering to LGBTQ people, I see that their sexuality is only one aspect of them. It's not everything about them. They shouldn't be defined by that one area of their life, even though they might define themselves by that one area of their life. And many times we see that their entire life and identity seems to evolve around that one aspect. We can see them as image bearers of God, and we can see that they're so much more than their sexuality. And the reality is that they need Jesus for so much more than just that. They need Jesus for every area of their life. And many times I've seen that the LGBTQ community is more open to Jesus in other areas of their life first. Maybe they're softened to their need for the gospel in other areas before their sexuality, because their sexuality is so deep and it's so all-consuming and they're so hardened in that area. And so I encourage you to not just focus on someone's sexuality, but focus on anywhere where they might be softened to their need for Jesus. We can do what I like call looking for windows into their soul, getting to know them deeply enough so we understand the idols that their hearts are serving, and we can apply gospel hope to that. And many times we can minister to someone's sexuality without them even knowing that we're ministering to their sexuality, because so many different areas of their life are connected. And so they don't understand that so many things that have happened to them and their experiences and the lies that they've believed and trauma and abuse has all led them to this outward symptom of sexuality. So we have to understand that the life that they're living is just the outward symptom of deeper heart level issues. And so if they're not willing or don't want to talk about their sexuality directly, that's fine. Give them that space and try to earn that trust and give God time to break down some walls. In the meantime, we can minister to areas of past abuse in their life that they don't necessarily understand that is leading to their current expression of their sexuality. We can minister to, you know, where are you putting your hope? We can minister to how are you spending your money and what idols might be there. And maybe you need Jesus in that area of your life, which I know they need Jesus in that area of their life because we all do. And so we can look for other areas and over time, we can help them see their need for Jesus, see their need for a Savior. And when I came to know Christ, my identity was so much wrapped around my sexuality. But as God started to chip away at that, my identity in Christ started to outweigh my identity in sexuality. And I'm so thankful for people who gave me time, who gave me space, who gave me grace, who allowed me time to process that and figure out what all those pieces look like. But until someone knows Jesus as their Savior, their sexual identity probably isn't going to change. And so we need to minister to the whole person, not just that one area. Many times I've seen these patterns in people where it should be so obvious that issues from their past are affecting their present. I see girls who are, you know, coming out as lesbian, who are sexually abused as girls, and they hate men. And it should be so easy to make those connections between their past and their present, but they're blinded to their sin, that they're blinded if they don't know Jesus. We can help them find healing in all those areas and eventually affect their sexuality, even though they don't know it, because they haven't put the dots together to understand that their past so strongly affects their present expression of their sexuality. All right, friends, I'm so glad that you joined us on this episode, and I'd love to come alongside you, just help equip you, help equip the body of Christ. At Calibrate Ministries, our vision is to equip the body of Christ to help the world embrace God's standard for sexuality. So please let me know how I can do that. Go to calibrateministries.com to find more resources. Make sure you share this podcast with your friends. We have a parents ministry, so if you're the parent of an LGBTQ individual, we'd love to have you join our parents ministry and let us serve you in that way. So I pray for you, and I believe that you can make a difference in someone's life, but we need to be equipped to do that. And most of all, we need to be on our knees in prayer for that person. So thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.